Conversations with Moon Body Soul. My name is Katie, and today we will be talking all about creativity, how to harness it, work with it, why it's so important, and how to bring more creative endeavors into your life. So earlier this week, I asked on Instagram what you guys wanted to hear about, and most of the requests revolved around creative projects such as the rug making and the natural dyeing, how I got into it, how I learned it, how to jump into more creative pursuits. So that's what we're going to focus on today. However, if you listen back 4 episodes ago in the podcast, I believe it's titled Catching Up on 3 Years, I do talk about how I got into the rug making and the natural dyeing, just briefly the inspiration behind it, and what sort of kick-started that off. So I won't dive too much into that, but I do want to talk about creativity as a whole, because in the past 2 years, as I've said in recent episodes, I really wanted to find more creativity in my life. My life started feeling really monotonous, even though I absolutely loved everything I've been doing with Moon Body Soul. It just felt a little bit monotonous over and over doing the same things. And so I've really been focusing on creativity in my life. And especially if you feel like you're not a quote-unquote creative person, this episode might be for you. So thank you guys so much for listening. Since I've been back in the podcast studio, this has been really just fun for me, and I love connecting with you. So if you have listened and enjoyed, or you have questions, please reach out. Send an email to hello@moonbodysoul.com. Let me know what you want to hear about. I do have some fun guests scheduled, so it won't just be me talking into the microphone, but I will be having more conversations, as the podcast is named, Conversations with Moon Body Soul. I do really want to bring this podcast back on a weekly schedule, and this week I was like, yes, it's going to come out beginning of the week. I'm going to do it. And then we had a major life event and hiccup. It feels like this podcast, I'm always updating you on my pets and my issues with my puppies, my dogs. Our dog Murphy, who I've told you about having struvite bladder stones, we were trying to work with our vet using medication and diet to dissolve these stones, but it did not work. And this weekend on Saturday, she had to have emergency bladder surgery. It was such a nightmare. We rushed her to an emergency vet in Santa Cruz that actually didn't have a surgeon on site. So if you are in the Santa Cruz area, I just want to give a little PSA. If your dog has an emergency, make sure that the place you're taking them to, if they may need a surgery, has a surgeon on site, because what they wanted to do was hold her for the entire weekend until Monday, when they would have a surgeon. And with these particular stones, they wanted to put a catheter in to help her pass the stones and just monitor her all weekend, which was going to be ungodly expensive, but also really worried us. We didn't want to leave her behind at the hospital all weekend. That did not feel right to us. So luckily, Bentley and I mean, we sat down and we were calling every emergency vet, and I was having no luck. I was calling places. They were telling me they only talk to other doctors. They maybe have a surgeon, but they need to hear from the doctor. And Bentley found somebody. South Bay Veterinarian Hospital, I believe is what it's called. Absolutely amazing. They had us email her records and the photos of her recent x-rays with the stones, which she had a lot of stones, like really taking up her entire bladder. They said, bring her right in. We will do the surgery. So we went in and got her and drove an hour up to South Bay Animal Hospital. And you would never have guessed that she was going through her issues. The only reason why we knew anything was up was she was not actually going to the bathroom. Like, she was asking to go out a lot, but nothing was coming out. And I was waiting around. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, we know these stones have to pass, so maybe that's what's happening. Let's just wait a couple hours. And then I realized 3 hours had passed and I got really worried. So that is why we finally took her to the vet. The surgeon who did the surgery, absolutely amazing. He called us afterwards and said that if we would have kept her in Santa Cruz and done the catheter, that there was absolutely no way it would have worked out for her, just based on the amount of stones that were trying to pass. They were all in a line, past her bladder into her urethra. Sorry, this got into a very specific veterinary talk, but the surgery went great. She's home recovering, but it's so hard to see our pets in pain, and we lost a lot of sleep. And I'm so happy that she's doing well, but definitely the anxiety and the worry and the stress got to us this weekend. So the beginning of this week has been very, very slow. Been cuddling and sleeping with her, giving her her medication, checking on her stitches, and she's recovering awesome. She is such a badass. So thank you guys if you reached out and gave any well wishes to Murphy. We super appreciate it. And that's a long-winded story of why this podcast is late, but let's dive right into our chat on creativity. So just to start, what is creativity? Many experts believe that creativity is a natural ability that some people are just born with, while others believe that it's a skill that can be learned and developed over time. When I talk about creativity and creative pursuits, I do want to mention I'm not just talking about what our minds immediately go to when we hear the word creative, things like art and music, but it also has a lot to do with just thinking and problem solving and coming up with ideas that are maybe outside the box and a little bit different. So there's a little bit of an abstraction there. It's not just doing an art project. When I was growing up, I was in that camp that believed that you were just born creative or you weren't. My sisters were super creative. They were very talented, gifted artists. They could draw and paint. And I just thought that I was not creative. Now, when I look back now and I see my childhood and what we did to keep ourselves occupied, I was very creative as a child. We came up with so many fun games, activities, ways to pass the time that were super creative. So throughout high school, I had this belief that I was just not a creative person. But I do remember my grandpa, who I call Papa, gifted me his film camera when I was about 14, probably. And I decided to learn photography. And that was my method of expressing my creativity. I was so excited. I took a class at our local community college on the darkroom and photography, and I absolutely loved it. But when I was in art class in high school, I asked if I could use my photography for our certain art projects, and I was told no. And this was really upsetting to me because it made me feel like photography wasn't quote unquote an art or creative enough. But I decided on our projects where we had to draw that I would take photos of a subject. I chose my sister, and then I would draw from my photo. So I was trying to find a little workaround there of being able to use something that I deemed creative, that I thought I was artistically talented at. But fast forward, and when I went to college, I remember wanting to pursue photography and love my parents, but they were under the belief that that was a career that would be pretty hard to be successful in. I remember them asking me what I was planning on doing with that. I think they even told me, what are you going to work for National Geographic? They only hire so many photographers. I mean, they couldn't see the future and see how powerful photography and imagery has become with the internet and online marketing. But I just kind of left that at the wayside. I decided I would not pursue photography, and I went into strategic communications. And that's kind of when I realized that creativity isn't just an art form where you're painting or drawing or capturing something, but it really could be with how you see things in your mind and even how you market stuff. So that really opened up my world. And I realized that maybe I was more creative than I believed growing up. I then really made my career out of using my creative talents in the form of marketing and communications. And I did that for several years after college. And when I finally started Moon Body Soul in 2016, I used my creative talents by creating this brand, creating the products, creating the imagery, and I tapped back into my love for photography. I think that's why I did so well at Instagram in the beginning, because it was so photo-centric and I loved photography. It was my passion. and having this method to use it was so much fun. But as I mentioned in last week's episode, things begin to feel monotonous the more and more you do them. As much as I love taking photos and sharing the crystals, I have just an obsession with how I capture the crystals. I want them to look exactly as they would look when they arrive to you. So I take a lot of time taking the photos and making sure that I capture every single angle of a crystal that I'm selling. It became really monotonous for me. And as far as being a creative outlet, it became more of a to-do list. And it took me a while to realize that, why I wasn't feeling fulfilled anymore, even though it felt like if you looked at my to-do list, I was still doing creative tasks. So I deep dove into what would it take for me to feel like I'm using creativity again, or getting to tap into making something again that's not just remaking the same products over and over or taking photos over and over. So I did some soul searching. What would it look like for me to be creative? And I realized that that monotony of doing something, even though it was successful, and maybe the success is why it became so monotonous, because you knew that if I did A, B, C, then I would get X, Y, Z, or however you want to say it. There was no outside creative thinking that needed to be done because everything was working so well. And I really like Alan Watts, as you know. I've quoted him in my podcast a lot. You see me share a lot of his words of wisdom on Instagram, but I really like what he says about creativity. He believed that creativity is not just about producing art or music. He said that creativity is also about finding new ways to see the world and to solve problems. He thought that creativity was a way of connecting to our deep inner selves and the world around us. And I believe that these views on creativity are super relevant today. In a world that is constantly changing, creativity is more important than ever. And I know we have all of these new tools like AI and ChatGPT that are robots trying to be creative. It can feel like you do not need to be creative anymore. AI can do all of the work, but really those are just tools that you can utilize while you are also tapping into your own creativity. And the more creative you get by using those tools, the more different and powerful things you can produce. And I love what he said about using it as a way to connect with the world around us, because there's something that is really powerful about creating something from nothing. And it's speaking to someone else and having that experience of someone seeing something that you created. It really connects you in a deeper way. And it's also deeply vulnerable to share any of your creative gifts, because it's hard to know how they will be received. But when they are received by someone else and you have that connection to something that you created, it's super powerful. It's super, super powerful. So I want to jump into, how can we activate our creative brain? As I'm sure you've heard, the brain is separated into two different hemispheres, the right and the left. The left brain is said to be the quote unquote creative brain, as the right brain is more the analytical side of the brain, which this is true, but when you're talking about creativity, both sides of the brain are being used. Because, like I mentioned, it's not just art and color and music notes, but it's also problem solving and integrating it all. So both sides of the brain are being used. And there's lots of different ways that people believe you can get into a more creative state and activate the creative brain. But I'm just going to speak to the ones that work for me. You can try them on, see if they work for you, or share with me what works for you to tap into more of a creative state. The first one that I will share with you is breathwork and meditation. Those go hand in hand and they help me tremendously. There are lots of different styles of breathwork and meditation that can help get you into a more creative state, but the favorite one that I've found that works really well for me is alternate nostril breathing, or as in Sanskrit, Nadi Shodhana. If you've never done this type of breath work, you are using your hand to cover up one of the sides of your nostrils and breathing in alternating. I will walk you through it just briefly, but know that if you want to do this in your practice, you should try to shoot for about 5 minutes. That may seem like a long time, but you can work up to it. But this is absolutely one of my most favorite ways because it is balancing the right and left hemisphere of your brain. So if you are in a very analytical mindset, you can't stop thinking. Whenever I practice this type of breath work, it helps me to back off of that super analytical, super right brain way of seeing the world and activates this more perceptive left brain. But like I said, it is balancing the hemispheres, and creativity uses both sides of the brain. This is something that I really like to do before my moon circles. We've done this practice a lot. Just helps us, again, relax into the body and balance the brain. It also has a lot of other really amazing benefits. It is said to help manage stress and anxiety, lower blood pressure and heart rate, improve lung function and brain function, which is why we are doing it. So to get started, if you are in a safe place to do so, if not, you can come back to this practice. But find your seat like you normally would. Whenever I'm practicing meditation or breath work, I really like to have my hips above my knees. So sitting on a pillow is really nice, or a chair, but just any way that you can be elevated. You can also practice these things lying down, but I find with breath work, sitting up is really lovely. Just start by noticing your breath exactly as it is. Become the witness, just create this kind of baseline, this is how I'm arriving, and know that any way that you're arriving is totally fine. Maybe you notice your breath's pace, maybe it's fast, or maybe it's nice and slow. And take a nice inhale here in both nostrils. Exhale, let it out. Maybe open your mouth if you want to release. Do that two more times. Inhale. And exhale. Another big inhale. And exhale. Taking your right hand and placing your pointer and middle finger on your third eye, the middle of your forehead, your right thumb then can rest on the outside of your right nostril as you inhale just through the left. Pause at the top and switch this by plugging your left nostril, releasing the right, plugging the left with your right ring finger as you exhale out the right. And stay here and inhale through the right. Pause at the top and switch for the exhale. Inhale, breathe in through the left side. Always pausing to switch at the top of a full breath. Exhale out the right. Inhale through the right. Pause and switch, exhale out the left. Inhale through the left. And switch, exhale out the right. That's just a mini preview of how to do alternate nostril breathing. As you could probably hear, I'm sure my microphone was picking up, you may find that one side is easier to breathe into. I should have also mentioned this is always a good practice to have a Kleenex nearby, a tissue, because it can be a little bit hard to breathe out of either side of the nose. But you'll find as you do this more and more that it becomes easier to breathe out of the side that maybe is having some difficulty. I also really like at the end of the 5 minutes or however long your practice is to release your hand and just try to do it without the help of your hand. And just imagine, even if you're only imagining, the air only going through the right and then exhaling out the left, and then only inhaling through the left and exhaling out the right. You might surprise yourself without the use of your hand that it feels like you're actually doing it. And what's really fascinating about our nose and how we breathe, I always thought we're just breathing in and out through both sides all the time. But actually, one side takes over, and I need to double check this, but I think it's for about an hour and a half. One side actually takes over, and then the other side takes over. This is also why maybe we feel in our brains that we're super analytical, or we're super relaxed and we're feeling a little bit more creative or in our feels. This could really be because of the nose switching sides and how it breathes. So I really love this practice. It just helps balance everything out. And every time I do it, even if I just do it for a minute, I feel a sense of calm, a sense of peace, and that kind of mind chatter calms down for me. I hope that was helpful for you. Now, this next tip for tapping into a creative state feels just like a no-brainer for me, but maybe you need the reminder. Spending time in nature, that 100% taps me out of analytical thinking and straight into more receptive and creative thinking. I get so inspired by the colors and the fragrance and just how nature is. Everything that's growing and being created, it just is. You never look at a tree, or I've never looked at a tree and thought, wow, that's an ugly tree. Like, everything is just beautiful in its isness. There's something so special about that. Just the sheer beauty of natural elements taps me right in. This next one, I am being reminded of it more and more, is reading. I was someone who read mainly nonfiction books in my adult life. I love philosophy. I love Alan Watts. I love all of these sort of different ways of thinking and seeing the world. But this past year, I started tapping into fiction books and realized how much I get from reading fiction. It helps me see my life in a different way just by interacting with the different characters, which I'm shocked I didn't think of that sooner because I love movies and films, but reading has helped me tap into creating these worlds in my brain and visualizing as I'm reading. It's been really, really helpful for me to tap into more of a creative state. Really love reading at night, but also first thing in the morning, just getting a little chapter in here or there. I actually have Our Power Being out a ton this winter to thank for that, because I really couldn't do much else. I didn't have the internet, but I could read, and it just, wow. Absolutely love reading. It definitely helps me get into a creative state. This next one isn't as easily approachable. You have to plan for it, but traveling has always helped me. I find when I go on trips and I go to places more different than my current reality, the better. It sparks my creativity. The biggest example of this I have was going to Morocco. That was somewhere that was so very different than my world here in California that it opened up a lot for me, especially because the culture there has so much color and beautiful mosaics, and it's incredible. And I loved so much that you wouldn't even think that from the outside of the buildings. Their outside of all the buildings are super minimalist, just like clay. If you're in Marrakesh, it's all the red, but you go inside and they have the most intricate artwork, vibrant colors. It's a really, really beautiful culture. That has helped me so much to tap into a different side of myself and see things in a more beautiful way. I was obsessed with the floors in Morocco. If you were following me at the time I was traveling there in 2019, I believe, I had a series where I was just taking photos of every single tile floor because they were absolutely beautiful. It's so intricate. They were just fascinating. So travel has always been something that has helped me to get out of the thinking brain and see my life in such a different way. I think I wrote on that same trip, I flew into Paris, and I just found in my notes app the other day a note that I wrote from that trip talking about how when you move so far away from your life, or you travel so far away from your life, you get this bird's eye view of it. And you can just see it a little bit different. So travel, that is huge. If you're feeling like you're in a huge slump, maybe try planning a little trip. Even if you can't go far, I'm not saying you have to go all the way to Africa, but if you can even just go to a different park in your town that you've never been to, just changing your surroundings, maybe going to a museum or just taking a trip away from your house, maybe it'll help. The next thing I really like is talking to creative people. If you have someone in your life who you think is super creative, they think outside the box, or maybe they're super artistic, give them a call. Sometimes just talking or spending time with somebody else who is very tapped in and creative helps me to find that within myself, especially if I'm trying to solve a problem or work through anything. Just being able to bounce ideas off of someone who is generally receptive and comes up with creative ideas on their own is super helpful. And I am somebody who likes to talk more than write. Like if I have something I need to get out of me, I usually send someone a voice note or I give them a call, because for me, talking is the way that my brain can quickly process and get things out. Whereas some people really like to journal or brainstorm or free write, I find that my hand cannot move fast enough. I really like to talk, hence why this podcast is so enjoyable for me. So not only calling a friend, but also recording voice notes can be helpful. Even if you're just voice memoing yourself, I find that to be helpful. Or if you're someone who really likes to put pen to paper, just free writing. Setting that timer on your phone and just filling up a page. I have heard many of my friends say how helpful that is for them. When I put pen to paper, doodling is what helps me. There was not one class in college that I wasn't doodling in the margin of my notebook. It helps me think, it helps me release and relax. I'm not in any way like a gifted artist when it comes to drawing, but just doodling and making different designs and drawing different words is really great for my creative brain. I also really like adult coloring books. I love them. That is something that Bentley has never understood, why I would like to spend my time coloring, but he doesn't have to understand it. Adult coloring books absolutely rock. That is something that helps me tap into a more creative state. You're using colors, you're moving. I love it. And I'm sure I have many, many more that I'm just blanking on right now, but I will end with music. Music, super helpful for me. The different types of music helps to put me in a different type of mood. So I have a wide range of genres that I like to listen to, but music definitely helps me change my state that I am in. And I also love listening to music when I am doing a creative task. It helps me find that flow state that I've always am searching for. And I think that's actually why I like pursuing these creative tasks, because they are a flow state in and of themselves. If you have read the book Flow by, I'm gonna butcher his name, Mahali, oh my gosh, I've never seen a last name with this many consonants. I'm gonna put it in the show notes. It's a really good book about finding flow states. So I like to think that these creative pursuits are anything that put you in a flow state. That can also be something like cooking. I know cooking is a really creative task that most people just see as a means to an end. They have to eat. But cooking is super creative, especially if you know somebody who's a chef that puts a lot of time and energy. There is so much creativity that goes into creating a dish or a meal. And there's also a way to find that flow state within cooking because you have so much going on at once. I have found that making sourdough bread is even super creative. It gets me right into a flow state. It's been really enjoyable to learn how to make sourdough bread. Now, all of those suggestions can help you find a creative flow state, or they can help you tap into more creative ways of thinking. But let's say that you have a creative task that you've been wanting to do. I'll give the example of me wanting to learn how to make rugs. I was just drawn to that. I saw people making rugs online. I thought it was so cool and I wanted to learn how to do it. So, what do you do when you have a task that you want to learn? As I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, some people believe you're just born with this creative talent. Other people believe that you can learn it. Now I believe you can learn it. First off, I've seen some incredible videos online of people sharing their journey into drawing. And I think I'm so fascinated by this because I feel like I am a horrible drawer. I just cannot make anything look like what it looks like in my brain or even copy a photo. It's really, really hard for me. So whenever I see videos like this, they blow my mind. But I've seen videos where they share day one or like their earliest drawings to where they are now after just putting the time and energy into that endeavor. And it's amazing how much better you can get over time. That opened up my mind to think, maybe these creative tasks, like you don't just have to be naturally gifted and born with it. Maybe you can learn just by spending time. And now, after learning how to make rugs, I for sure believe that. My first rug was hilarious. And it has gotten so much better. It has gotten so, so much better. But let's say you have a task that you want to learn. This is how I went about it. I started to devour everything I could about that particular medium. You can check out books, although there's not many books about rug making. A lot of this is really new when it comes to using a tufting gun. But you can find YouTube videos. There are so many things on the internet that we can learn from. YouTube is a great resource. Also, ebooks, you can learn from different creatives. So many people are sharing courses on how they do what they do. Paying these creatives to learn from them by downloading ebooks and courses has been super helpful and powerful for me to learn how to do these new creative endeavors. Also, with the rug making, found my favorite rug tufter on YouTube and saw that she offered one-on-one consultations where she would help you via video chat. And I paid for like a 30-minute consult where she was just able to answer all of my lingering questions. I was able to show her how I was tufting and she gave me a lot of powerful tips and insight. But really, just doing the act of doing it over and over has been really helpful. You just have to get started. I love this quote by Alan Watts. He says, "The only way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing." That is a perfect way to state that if you want to do a creative task, you just have to start. Starting is probably the hardest part. And then set time aside for that creative activity. Just like any other skill, it takes practice. So if you set time aside each day to try to do something creative, even if it's just for a few minutes, you will eventually build not only that skill up, but you will build up the habit of utilizing that skill. Don't be afraid to fail, because failure is a part of the creative process. Don't let it stop you from trying this new thing that you want to do. When I started with the natural dyeing, I just had to know that what I was working with the silks or these cotton tea towels, that it just might not work out. And the very first thing that I tried to botanically dye, I printed with all of these flowers. It failed miserably. Like, it looked nothing like all of these videos that I saw online of people making these beautiful flower prints. Some of the prints didn't even show up. I completely failed. And you just have to know that that's going to happen. So then if it does happen, which it probably will, you know that's just a part of the process. So do not be afraid to fail. You will probably fail at this in the beginning because you've never done it before. Give yourself grace, know there'll be failure, and after you fail, just try again. And lastly, have fun with it. If it is not fun and it's not enjoyable, it's not worth doing it. If you are really, really stressed trying to figure it out, what is the point in doing it? I found this with the rug making. I would have a really hard time getting the gun to actually do what I wanted it to do, and the yarn would fall out and it just didn't look right. And I used to get so flustered that I almost couldn't even use my hands because I was just so angry. Everything felt like it wasn't working. And I paused and remembered, like, this is supposed to be fun. If I'm not having fun, take a break from it. Just pause, take some breaths, relax, maybe put on music and get back into it, because this should be a fun, enjoyable thing. And if you are resisting it in any way or having a hard time, you're just blocking that flow from happening. And like I said, if it's not fun, it's not worth doing it. So if you're not having fun, maybe it's not for you, or maybe you're just resisting, or you're afraid of failure, or you're judging yourself, or you're letting yourself just get in the way of it. Take a break and come back to it. Now, I've touched a lot on the how to be more creative and how to tap into these creative states, but I haven't touched too much on the why. I did say in the beginning how it can be super rewarding to connect with yourself and the world around you, connect with others, but there's actually some scientific evidence that practicing creative pursuits and doing creative activities increases our overall happiness. There was a study done in the Journal of Positive Psychology that found that people who engaged in creative activities for just 30 minutes a day reported feeling happier and more satisfied with their lives than those who didn't engage in any creative activities. So just setting aside 30 minutes a day for whatever that activity is for you. Again, it can be something like reading or cooking or just being in nature. All of those things are super creative. Or it can be painting, it can be singing, it can be writing, it can be anything. Anything that gets you into that flow state can improve your quality of life. There was another study that was done that found that people who participated in a creative writing workshop felt less stressed and more positive after the workshop. So maybe find a class around you. Maybe find a creative writing workshop if that's something that speaks to you. But just setting aside that time and making that space to do the activities that you find joyful and uplifting, it's going to improve your life. I don't think I've ever been upset that I set aside time and I tried to create something, even when it didn't work out. These studies have found that there are lots of reasons why maybe this is the case, that it makes you happier. One reason is that it can help you express yourself and connect you to your emotions. When you're engaged in a creative activity, you're free to explore your thoughts. You're feeling safe and supportive in the environment. This can help you understand yourself better, and it can even help you cope with difficult emotions. Another reason why these activities might make you happier is they can help you focus on the present moment. Like I was mentioning earlier, when you're in a flow state, you're completely present in that moment, and creating these little pockets of your day where you're practicing something that helps you stay really present can totally shift our brains and the way that we think. And when you are engaged in a creative activity, you're forced to focus on only that task at hand, that you don't have time for worries or concerns of the past or the future. So it just helps you stay present and focus and hone in and leave the rest behind. Wrapping up this episode, I just want to remind you that this is a very individualistic thing. I think I've already said this, but I think it needs to be said again, that it may take you a while to find what is your creative pursuit, what is your outlet. Maybe it's more thinking related and creative ideas, like I was mentioning growing up and in college, realizing that I was able to be more creative in that way versus an art form. Or maybe it is playing the piano. Maybe you've never played the piano before, but you love piano music and you want to explore that. That example is from my own husband, Bentley. He got a piano, I think, in like 2019. And he doesn't even read music. He just plays, and he has come up with so many songs. I actually got him for Valentine's Day a recording studio session that we haven't booked yet, but I want him to record his songs. I love them. I've shared some on Instagram whenever he's playing and I'm cooking. I sneak over and I record him, or if we're just hanging out and he hops on the piano, it is amazing. And that is something that he never really did. Like, growing up, he was forced to do piano lessons. He didn't like it, and it took him years to get back to it. But it has been a great way to shut off his thinking brain and do something more analog, which has been really powerful. So experiment and find what that thing is for you or what those things are for you. With the natural dyeing and the flower dyeing and the rug making, these were just little sparks of inspiration that I got. I would find something or see something that I was just drawn to, like botanically dyed silks. Anytime I saw a photo or I saw one in person at a shop or someone wearing one, I just, how do they do that? I want to do that. That looks so fun and beautiful and natural. And just that little spark of curiosity, I followed that. And as I mentioned in my episode where I talked about this, it was an idea that I sat on for years before I actually pursued it in any way. And it just took one day of sitting there thinking, yeah, I want to do that. And then realizing, then why haven't I? Why haven't I created that space? So if you have something that you have that spark, that little nugget of inspiration, why have you not followed it? Ask yourself that, because life is really, really short. And maybe, yes, you have a full-time job or you have kids and you're really, really busy. But as I just mentioned with all those studies, even just 30 minutes a day of doing something creative can totally shift your mindset and really change your life in a great way. Follow those little nuggets of inspiration that you're getting and see where they may lead. Since actually starting to do the natural dye process and diving in and learning everything I can, wow, it is so enjoyable. As I mentioned before, it's not the smartest business decision for me, but in my overall happiness and well-being, definitely a smart decision. I love it. It's just a way that I can immerse myself in a project and the colors and the feel. And now that I'm growing my dye garden, I mean, I don't even have any blooms yet. I just have little sprouts and little buds. Nothing's even bloomed, but going out there every single morning, it brings me so much peace. And it's just, I mean, caring for the garden. Gardening is creative in and of itself, but knowing that those are flowers that are going to bloom that I can press and print, oh, it gets me so excited. Like, that is an outlet for me for sure. And going back to it connecting you to others, that has been fulfilling for me as well. So a lot of what I've done with the dyeing and the rug making has been custom pieces. So working one-on-one with a vision somebody has and bringing it to life, it has been fulfilling to create something out of nothing and working with someone else and seeing how it's received. That's been amazing. I also do it for reasons of not having a ton of inventory on hand. They're very expensive projects, but I love that one-on-one creating something. So if you have a rug idea or a dyed item of clothing or silk or anything like that, reach out to me. I would love to work with you. It's honestly like one of the most fun aspects of it is creating something for someone else or with someone else with either their idea in mind or if they give me the creative freedom to pursue something myself. So much fun. I think that's everything that I want to say on creativity and being creative. I hope that this podcast inspires you to go try something new, to immerse yourself in a project, or simply just use the practices that help to activate a more creative way of thinking. That is all that I wanted from this, was to help inspire you, because by diving into my own creative endeavors and trying these new things, it has brought so much into my life. Where I felt monotonous and stuck, I now feel very much opportunity and a lightness and a joyfulness and just feeling so grateful that I'm able to pursue these things. I think that's where I'm going to wrap it up. Reach out to me if you have questions. And if you were somebody that was asking on Instagram about the dyeing or the rug making because that's something you want to pursue, go pursue it. Go pursue it. I didn't feel like an episode where I just gave you instructions on exactly how to make rugs or dyeing was going to be that interesting for most people. But if you want to message me and I can give you the resources of the people that I've learned from, and if you want to learn from me too, you can hire me as a coach. I'd love to teach you. I'm definitely new to all these things, but I do want to throw that out there. And I will be back soon with some guests on the podcast. I'm really excited about having more conversations. I miss so much having the studio in LA where I had a lot of people come in and we spoke face to face. and had conversations in that way, but I'm going to record some podcasts with some amazing guests. We're going to do it virtually, and I'm excited to share. Thank you guys so much. I will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with Moon Body Soul. Be sure to follow if you don't want to miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, leave a review and a rating. And if you want to email over any special guests or topic suggestions, email hello@moonbodysoul.com.